Buske. Frontdør, Gjøvik. Ok, velkommen til enda en dag. Skal vi se om vi får kontroll på dette her. Og gjøre litt mindre. Forhåpentligvis stort nok til at dere kan se det. Ok, her er vi. 9. februar. Vi er kommet ganske langt. Så velkommen til det. Det vi skal gjøre i dag er å begynne med å se på løsningene. Ok, forgot I have to speak English. So, ok, we are going to see a solution to the exercises posed to archetypes on information security. And then we will enter new topics, teaching you how to build actual simulation models that can be simulated. So that's quantitative system dynamics, how to connect the causes and effects, the causal structure, with the way the system behaves, the dynamic behavior. And there I will introduce stock and flows, new kinds of concepts, and time delays. There are a number of materials that I will look at later. But first about the exercises. I posted the solutions. So, and they are in the previous day, solve exercises to modeling security with system archetypes. So there you have them. So there were a number of exercises. Let's have a look at that. Using the PowerPoint presentation, what you have is the PDF version. Okay. So here they are. Before that, actually, I would like to revise the information that I had in the exercises themselves. So, I gave you, when I post the exercise, a recommended procedure to build a system archetype. And on slide number 3 is the first step. And I emphasize that the important thing is to read very carefully, the description of the problem and ask yourself what are we trying to achieve, what is the desired outcome and what is the action, what is the thing that we do to provoke or to elicit or to get the intended outcome. That means you have to forget everything else and just look very closely at the description to identify that. If you do that, then you are on the right station to depart on the tour to deliver the archetype. If you don't do that, then you may be lost. As we say in Norwegian, you are ute på viddene. So that's why it's extremely important and why I put in the frontal section a request that you should construct the action outcome pairs for all the exercises as a minimum. And one student did that. And there are things that can improve, but I think it was very nice that one of the students did that. This is a good preparation because 1 week from now, Monday, 15 February, you get a project, an examination project, and it will give you some cases described, sorry, and ask you to develop archetypes, to justify the archetypes, and explain the solution of the problem or the cases using the archetypes. So if you are well prepared by doing these exercises, then you will find that the project is quite easy. If not, you will be kind of coming back and having to prepare yourself while you try to solve the problem. That's not the best thing. So depending on how far you came with this exercise that I posed 1 week ago, you should spend more time on them. So even if you get the solutions from me, as you are getting them now, you should try to solve them themselves. So the solutions allow you to compare. But also then back to the procedure. Three steps. First, concentrate on the intended consequence feedback loop. And to build that, you have to determine the action and the outcome. Often, it's best to look first for the outcome, which is what you're trying to get, and then find the action. And once you have that, then you follow this procedure to build the archetype, the first part of the archetype, the intended consequence feedback loop. Then, the next step is to ask about the system reaction, the unintended consequence loop. And in order to achieve that, you have to find out what happens that is unexpected. What is the system reaction? What the system does as a consequence of what you are trying to achieve, but you didn't think of that. And once you get that, there is a series of steps and you get the second part. And then, once you have the intended consequence feedback loop and the unintended consequence feedback loop, then you can look at the lecture on archetypes, and then you find which of the archetypes that you have discovered. There are four possibilities, depending on the 2 times 2 different combinations for the intended and the unintended feedback loop. The intended feedback loop can be reinforcing or balancing, 2 possibilities. The unintended consequence feedback loop can be reinforcing or balancing, 2 possibilities. 2 times 2, 4 possibilities. But this requires that you are very accurate and have done the first 2 steps correctly. Because if there's a mistake in them, you end up with the wrong archetype. But if you have the right archetype, then you should be able to find from the slides, maybe you even remember that, whether it is an out-of-control archetype or an underachievement archetype or a relative control or a relative achievement archetype. One more thing. Sometimes, as for instance in the case of the transition to e-business, there can be argued, you could argue for 2 different possibilities. And depending on how you argue, you can get one archetype or the other archetype. If you have made a good argument and justified your assumptions and your reasoning, then your archetype may be correct, even if I would have argued for a different archetype, because I am making different assumptions. The point is to make good assumptions and being able to defend them. The assumptions should not just be random, so to speak. You just assume something without without actually thinking or justifying about the quality of the assumptions. But if you have good arguments, then I accept that. Just a moment, I need a little hint. My voice is a bit weak, so sorry about the interruption. So it is Lecrule. That helps. Okay, so that was the procedure that I recommended you. Let's now look at the solutions. What I recommend you, and this is applicable also for your project, for examination projects, is that you see how I present here the solutions. I did that so in detail for the first 10, or actually for the first 9 archetypes. In the last 2, I didn't put as much detail. But I am asking you for a graphical representation of the proposed problem archetype. It should be complete. Here is what I mean by complete. And then you should also explain the archetype so that your reader is able to understand your reasoning. And that's where you put in the explanations. Sometimes you can do 2 things. First, describe how you justify the archetype, and then the second one is how you tell the archetype to the audience. So the first is about explaining how you thought, and the second is how to communicate the essence of the archetype. The 2 things can be done separately or combined. And as you recommend you for the examination project, follow a similar procedure. Perhaps with even more emphasis in arguing for the causal relationships, because that's what allows me to see how you are thinking, if you have understood the issues, if you have a good argument, a good defense for what you're doing. And then, as I said, one can end up with different archetypes for one and the same problems. If you offer good reasons, your archetype will be considered reasonable, even if somebody will come up with a different reason. So the important is good reasoning. Then, for each of the archetypes, I put here in the solutions, I repeat the definition of the case. In all these cases, what happened here? In all these cases, if you read here very, very carefully, then you are able to find out what is the action and what is the outcome. So, you see preparation, outcomes. So this is clearly that the action is doing some things to prepare the attack, and you are achieving gradually the attack. Here I was a little bit abstract in that I simply put here action and outcome. So this is action, is some preparative action by the social engineer or the and it's getting relative outcomes. And the unintended consequence is that this is activating security controls. Unintended for the bad guy, of course. So the bad guy is doing some preparatory actions so as to come closer and closer to the desired outcome that will allow to conduct the attack. But when you are doing this test, This can raise the alarms and activate security controls. It will take some time. So that means that the attacker should not only prepare the attack, but also at the same time thinking, how can I weaken or bypass the security controls? That is the solution loop for the attacker. Questions? Yes?
Would it be okay to have this ultimate goal as this desired outcome? The ultimate goal is full attack, and you have the goal gap. You need to have more detail in the loops?
I will have to see. The question is if it's possible to put as the outcome the ultimate one and put more detail in the loops. I will have to see your solution, Tonya, to be able to completely give an answer, but you never get the final outcome, well, never is perhaps exaggerated, but in practice, if you have a good defense, it's very difficult to reach the final outcome immediately. So the logic of this is that you have to take several steps at a time, and for each of these steps, there may be security controls that may be difficulties for you. Okay.
I have this desired outcome up there.
Yes.
That I have named as the full attack. Mm-hmm. And in the loop, I have this intermediate outcome as one goal, and then I will have goal gap for every round in the loop. Okay, you can look at it afterwards.
Yes, I think what we can do is, since I'm here in detail about a solution that you haven't seen, I think what we can do is take in the break, and later we can share the insights. Okay? And then the important thing is to tell a story. You see here, the final intended outcome, and I think that is what Tonya is asking, of the malicious insider is the last in a series of partial outcomes that come closer and closer to the final one. The intended consequence loop is balancing, as you could see, because you are closing and closing a gap. But these partial outcomes can activate the security controls of the organization. And this risk increases as the partial outcomes come closer and closer to the most sensitive part, the most important parts of the organization. So, from the point of view of the bad guy or the malicious insider, the unintended consequence loop is reinforcing because they are coming greater and greater difficulties as time is passing. So, it's easy to see that the archetype is out of control. And then, from the point of view of the malicious insider, the solution leak is to select partial outcomes that not only come closer to the final outcome, but also help evade or counteract or bypass the security controls. So you have to think not only of the intended outcome, but also of the unintended in order to solve that. Then, similarly, exercise two. There you have social engineering trying to steal confidential information from a company. And again, the social engineer needs to create trust so that people consider, never get suspicion as to what is the bad guy is trying to do. So the idea is to get more and more information that allows the social engineer to masquerade so as to come closer and closer to the final outcome and get the most confidential information. This is the intended outcome. Actually, I'm telling you what is the intended outcome. And the unintended outcome for the malicious insider is, again, the more confidential, the better it is protected. And how can a social engineer is some person that is not working in the organization, but rather is trying to masquerade as if it's a person in the organization. So in order to get that, you need higher and higher authorization levels. Okay? And here, if you read what I am telling you here, then your see again, can interpret what the action is, the outcome is, again, partial things to create more and more, to be able to more and more masquerade. So each of the actions, each of the outcomes is creating additional trust in the organization that this person is part of the organization, and from the point of view of the bad guy is to come closer and closer to the most protected things. But the higher the outcome is, the better protected is, so you have to think about that. But as you see here, you have an balancing in feedback loop for the intended consequence loop. The desired outcome is coming higher and higher up in the organization to have more and more access. As you are getting some new outcomes, you are coming to areas that are better and better protected, where you have more and more need, more and more authorization. You start perhaps just by bypassing the defenses that people believe you are working organization, but that's not enough. If you want to get their most secretive things, then you need to masquerade as a person with great authority in the organization. And there you see that as you come up to the higher protection level, the higher protection level is in making it more and more difficult to get the outcome. So that's why it's a balancing feedback loop, the unintended consequence loop. And therefore you have a relative control archetype from the point of view of the bad guy. And the way to counteract the unintended consequence loop is by getting higher and higher authorization level. In this way, you will be able to access the things that are best protected in organization. Here is the story. I admit that in the archetypes that I put here, I was not very specific as to the action and the outcome, so I should have spelled it out, but in the story you see that here. A social engineer approaches his goal by, and I put his because social engineers very rarely are women, so don't feel discriminated, Tonya, and other girls who are listening here. You are nicer than that men. You are rarely social engineers. So a social engineer approaches his goal by progressive partial outcomes that allow him to penetrate the organization. The more you know about the organization, the easier it is for you to masquerade. Yes, Henry?
When something is progressing, so you have to reach intermediate steps and you get further and further. Is
yes.
That a reinforcing loop then? Because you get, you keep progressing throughout your, or through your actions.
Well, you are progressing, yes, in the archetype, in the sense that you are coming closer and closer to your outcome. But the result of this is the closer you come to the outcome, the less effort that is left. So that's why you have here a negative one. The point is, whenever you have a comparison within where you are and where you want to be, then you will have a balance and feedback loop. Because you are trying to come with this there. And when you are there, then you finish. So, to distinguish between balancing and reinforcing loops, it's very important to have a clear view as to, are you simply trying to escalate higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, in a sense without a other goal than just more and more success or growth? Then you have reinforcing. But if you have a clear goal that you, when you achieve it, you finish, then you are, have a balancing process, balancing feedback loop. So the social engineer has a goal, the desired outcome, which may be getting some very sensitive information that the social engineer wants to steal, some industrial secrets or whatever. And the way to do that is by pretend that he is part of the organization, but not only this, but closer and closer, because of his behavior, masquerading as a person with great authority, so that in the end, the safe or whatever is there will be open for him, because he has got all the necessary information. So you get a balancing loop then. But since the partial outcomes will be better and better protected, the more sensitive they are, this makes reaching the partial outcomes increasingly difficult. So the closer the soil engineer comes to the goal, the more difficult it will become. So what is the solution? The solution is to act in such a way that you get higher and higher access. And this you can get by getting higher and higher authorization levels. In practice, social engineers that have masquerade organization, often they are kind of spies. First they get some trust, they get some access, then they have more and more knowledge, and in this way they use it to create trust, and so on and so on. Okay? Incident reporting, we solved it here in class last time, but maybe we can repeat it. It's about what happens when an organization introduces a security incident reporting system. By introducing that, you ask the employees to be aware of things that happen that are not normal and report them so that they can be analyzed. And when they are analyzed, then you learn lessons, and that allows you to continuously improve your security. So the cost is that by getting the people to spend time on detecting and reporting incidents, and they have to fill out forms and explain it carefully and so on, so that something can be done, then you are increasing the workload. And there are a lot of security incidents that can happen, so the workload can increase quite significantly. And the consequence of this may be that the reports start becoming less good, and therefore the analysis less good as well. So in the end, the incident handling quality decreases. And here, actually, the intended outcome is very clearly stated. You want less incidents. So you need only to figure out what is the action. Some of you wrote in the solution just as the action SEARS and so. But SEARS is just the name of a totality of things, which is reporting, analyzing, solving, handling, communicating, learning, and so. So the actual action that triggers everything is to get the people to report. So when something happens, be alert, and then communicate it, and in order to, and it should be communicated in a way that allows security incident team later to do something with that. So this is a task that requires quite much work. And this is the reporting that indirectly increases the workload in organization. The reporting will lead to incident handling and learning by some dedicated team, and that will reduce the number of or the proportion of events that actually become incidents that this cause problems. So this is a balancing loop, and I call it B, learning from incidents, because that's what you want to do. You want to become better, improve continuously your security, learning, and prevent incidents. Victims of success, I call this reinforcing loop, because you are doing the right things, but because you are doing much of the right thing, you become a victim in a sense that you are punished. Your workload increases with some delay, the incident quality decreases, which means that this less incident handling quality, less incident handling and learning, more incidents and so on. So this reinforcing loop acts against the intended consequence loop. And then the solution is making sure that you allocate resources in some way so as to decrease the workload. And you need for that some metrics, and the metrics could be related to the number of incidents. So more incidents, more resources, so as to reduce the workload. Just a reminder, I should have mentioned that before, but I want to mention it now again. When institutions introduce some intervention so as to achieve some outcome, they often do not see the unintended consequences. There are some boundaries that make that difficult, and that could be, as we reviewed in the first class 1 week ago, because this happens elsewhere, or because that happens much later, or because there are cultural differences across the organizations that make you difficult to see what will happen, and so on and so on. And in order to solve the problem, you need to see through these barriers and boundaries. So you have to pay some effort in order to be able to see through and release the solution, which is allocate resources. One way of handling these unexpected and unintended things is when you try to introduce a new activity, a new system, a new solution in an organization, make sure to discuss that with different people. Not only just with your closest team, but also with the other parts of the organization, so that they can see through that and reason with you how this is going to affect them. And then you will make these boundaries more visible and be able to see through them so as to detect the consequences. Because actually, this is quite logic. If you make the people work more, then you should be prepared that this has consequences. And it is quite strange that time and again these things are introduced without thinking. Or I think I gave you also the example. Remember the introduction in 1989 by the authorities in the Mexico City. At that time, it's a mega city. I think there are more than 12 people living there. Perhaps today it's 20 million people. A lot of pollution from cars. And then the politicians decided that the way to solve that was to prohibit that in one day of a week, cars of certain color will not drive. They prohibited that they would drive. And they just did that. And they never occurred to them to think, hey, what will happen? How are the people going to react? And what the people did is, a lot of them bought a second car, a very old car, because you don't pay a lot for a car that you only use once in a week. And they, all the cars polluted more. In the end, you had more car and more pollutions. And actually, would it be so difficult to think ahead that this could happen? If they had just sit down and ask a few questions or thought a little bit, then probably they will have discovered that. So, okay, in this case, so it's quite clear the action is reporting of incidents and the intended outcome is less incidents. And so on. We have more archetypes, and I'm going briefly just to review the action and the outcome and point to you where this appears in the description so that you in the future have it easier to determine that. So in number 4 is telling you an organization has defined an ambitious goal to increase its throughput. To achieve this, resources are primarily allocated to closing the throughput gap where security is neglected. Propose a problem archetype expressing how the intended outcome, which is actually spelled out there, leads to unintended consequences and so on. So the outcome is to increase the throughput, because throughput is what the company or the organization does. Of course, throughput is abstract, so it depends on which organization it is. If it is Statoil, the throughput is oil and gas, which is sold and gives increases the finances of the company. So, and what is the action? How do you get this? You have to do something. And Actually, it's spelled here. It's resources. What are resources? That is what the organization puts on the table to get the throughput done. And that must be in people working, but also instruments, tools, whatever. The name resources describes that. So you could also call them allocation to production, or if you want, allocation of resources to production, or resources to production. There are several ways of expressing this, but the point is that you are putting something here to increase the throughput. And you have a goal, because the organization defines for every year, we want to produce that much. And that's what you are trying to achieve. So you are trying to close the throughput gap, rise the throughput so that it rises to the desired end. And the unintended consequence is, if you forget, if your main effort is to throughput, then you will be forgetting that security is important. The allocation of resources to security is too little. And because of that, sooner or later, you start getting timeouts from incidents, and this is going to hit your throughput. Okay? Questions? Yes, Henry?
I thought the way that it's the actual throughput that is increasing security and not the investment in production. So I have the arrows going from throughput to security.
So Henry's reasoning is that it is the throughput that reduces security. Well, if you think of Statoil, the throughput is what comes out from the wells, the oil and the gas. Can you explain how this in itself will reduce the security? I mean, maybe you are thinking of other securities, that when gas is coming out, this may explode and so on. But we are thinking here of information security incidents. Okay, so Henry's reasoning is that by increasing the throughput, you are growing the organization, and that will also, in a sense, lead to other attacks. Well, that's an interesting point of view, and when we are drawing an archetype, we are actually simplifying the issues in that we sit on a main issue that we select. There are other issues. And what Henry is now arguing for, in a sense, is for having a more complete picture of what is happening there. But that wouldn't correspond to the description here, because it's saying you resources are primarily allocated to closing throughput while security is neglected. So I am actually telling you what I want you to describe as the unintended loop, consequence loop. So, again, my point is, archetypes are only a very simplified view and a very high-level view of a problem. There may be more issues. So, for instance, going back to the Mexico City problem, which was described in terms of trying to restrict the number of cars in the road to reduce pollution, and this effect leads to people bypassing that, and then the pollution increases. But you could add effects like pollution leads to asthma, even heart attacks and so on. So if you want to describe the problem more carefully, then you will have more and more loops and so on. So this is, in a sense, legitimate. But from the point of view of addressing some issue, it's very important to select the first step. And you try to identify the most important things that occur, or the first things that occur, that from which everything depends. And also to find a way of describing that at this very high level, so that you can have a bird's view of the situation. There's a second reason why it's important to stick to archetypes to begin with, and that is the right way of solving complex problems is to simplify, to simplify, to simplify as much as possible so that the issue allows you to take the first step. Later, once you have solved it at a high level for the most important issues, then you can think, and next, what would I like to deal with, and so on. But all the time, the models, they shouldn't be like reality. Reality is very messy. It has huge amount of details. You should think of models for the purposes, to solve some particular problem or some set of problems, and don't get lost in too many details. Okay, so again, you get here an out of control archetype, and so on and so on. Okay, we have a few more minutes. I think you have understood the logic, so I don't go too much in detail. But here in the question of transition to a business, that's where you could defend a different type of archetype with good arguments. It says, organization re-engineers its business as e-business. The transition is accomplished gradually by moving parts of the business from a traditional way to e-business. Proposed deployment archetype expressing how the intended outcome, such transition to e-business, might lead to unintended consequences through novel security risk. And here, it is a little bit vague, because you could interpret this as an organization like Amazon and so on, that start with e-business for books, and then as e-business for gadgets, for toys, clothes, watches. Today you can buy everything at Amazon. So in the case of Amazon, it's not, let's take our bookshop and make an e-business. But it is all the time, expand an e-business. Therefore, you don't have a particular goal to achieve. You rather, you try to grow, and to grow, and to grow. And that's how it could be interpreted. And that's how I propose the solution. So you are putting things on e-business, and you increase your e-business, which gives you more resources to do. First books, then, say, toys, then clothes, then watches, and so on, and so on, and so on. Then it's a reinforcing transitioning, and you are not only transitioning, you are transitioning everything that exists. So you are transitioning books, you look what is the next step, toys, what is the next, clothes, what is the next, clocks, watches, kitchen instrument, whatever. So you are seeing possibilities and doing that. Now, as you are doing this, you have more and more segments that depend on information security, and you may increase in the number of vulnerabilities, and this will affect your e-business. So you get a balancing unintended feedback loop against that. Some of you may have thought that there is a company that is doing something, books or whatever, and wants to put that as e-business. If that's the goal and no more, then you have a goal that you want to achieve, and then you would have had here a balancing feedback loop. And if you defended that well, that's okay for me. Okay, we are closing the first hour. I didn't review all the exercises, but my point is the following. You have the solutions now. You should try to develop as many solutions as possible. If you haven't done that yet, then do that, and you can compare with my proposed solutions and engage in the forum in the question and answers folder of Fronter. If you have done some, compare with my solutions. If you have questions, then we can revise them. Then we take a break of 50 minutes.